Please join me in Jeremiah chapter 9. Jeremiah chapter 9. We are here this morning because of God. Now that sounds so obvious that it doesn't need to be said, so I'll say it again. We are here because of God. Okay, let's think about how that is. When I do, I remember the words that Peter uses on the day of Pentecost, as we're reported in Acts chapter 2. He says, in a moment of inspired boldness, he says, "You used lawless men to nail him to a cross and kill him." But he doesn't only say that. Just before that, he says, and here, I'm in, right, still, I want you in Jeremiah. I'm just going to give you this little bit. "This Jesus was delivered up by the determined plan and foreknowledge of God." This was not an accident, not a historical accident, had just happened according to the politics of Jews and Romans in Jerusalem. No, it was the determined plan and foreknowledge of God that Jesus would be raised up, nailed to a cross, killed. Now, why would he do that? I want to show you in Jeremiah 9 a feature. I think we see something about the nature and the character of God in this one little passage here. I'm in chapter 9. I'm in verse 23. Jeremiah 9 and verse 23. "This same God who by his determined plan offered Jesus, says this, 'Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom, let not the mighty man boast in his might, let not the rich man boast in his riches, but let him who boasts, boast in this, that he understands and knows me.'" This morning, let us be people who understand and know. Because only then can we respond to God fully and properly. Can we know this God? He says, "that I am the Lord." And in the Christian Standard Version, saying, "practicing faithful love and justice and righteousness in the earth." And then in that same version, "this is the declaration of God." So what we see here is that God declares his character. "I am the God who shows." In the ESV, "I am the God who practices faithful love." And that's why he determined what he did. Another part of the nature of God involved in this, God is a desirer of people. He's a desirer of relationship. He wants covenant. He wants to belong to a people. He wants people to belong to him. And that's what he seeks throughout the Bible. "They will be my people, and I will be their God, and I will dwell in their midst." But this is what God wants. He wants a people, and he wants to enter into formal relationship with them. Formal relationship, which has with it, included in it, parties, terms, and promises. The promises are blessings and curses. And here in this passage in Jeremiah, these words come at the end of a long series of verses detailing how troubled and fallen away Israel is, and God's sorrow about that, but his determination to practice justice. Because you understand, justice is giving people what they deserve when they fail in the covenant. And he is a God of justice. He shows that. He practices that in the earth, we're told. But that's not all. Remember, God says, "I show faithful love." And what is that but the determination to work for the relationship, even when the one who is my partner has faltered? This is prodigal son talk, brothers and sisters. This is the father who comes running and says, "I'm not waiting for you to come back and fall on your knees and beg for forgiveness. I see you coming and I run towards you because I want you and I want our relationship." That's what God is doing here. So he's not only a God of justice. He is indeed that. People will get what they deserve. And yet, I will practice, show faithful love. I appreciate John's linking of song and passage and prayer this morning. I'll extend it just one bit. In that Psalm 23 that the song is based on, remember that incredible last verse, surely, surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I want you to know the word surely is one of my favorites in the whole Bible. Surely. It's settled. It's known. And what makes it sure? I know the character of this God. I know my shepherd. I know deep in my heart, deep in my bones, into my very, in the heart of my being, I know that he is a God who is just, but he's also a God who practices faithful love. And in Psalm 23, the word mercy is the same word, faithful love. This is what God does, and that's why we're here this morning, because God planned for something. But we're not only here because of what God the Father did. Join me now in Luke. Luke chapter 22. Luke 22, and here we leave the rather grand declaration by God about his nature, and we turn to a remarkably intimate moment. We turn to the garden where this one who was delivered up, right? He's just about at the moment where that delivering occurs. And he is in this garden with disciples, and he goes and separates with a few and then separates even further. And listen to what he says in verse 41, Luke 22 and verse 41. And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. We know that language. He speaks as a man here, knowing full well what lies before him, knowing the anguish that awaits him, knowing the shame, knowing the horror of the events that are coming very, very soon. The hour has come, as he's already announced. He knows that, and he prays like a man, let this cup pass from me. But then he gives us a word that may be as powerful as that, surely, is that in verse 41, right there in the middle of the verse, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Here, in this astonishing act of submission, he says, you know what I want. In one sense, I want this cup to be passed from me. But you also know what I want. I want your will to be done. So here we see Jesus, the Son of God, practicing faithful love. He showed up, he stayed, and he did what he could. You understand this? This again, just as I said earlier, this is not an accident, these events happen. Jesus is not a victim. Please understand that. He's not simply captured by an armed band. That happens. But he goes willingly because he too, like his Father, the Father he understands and knows and shares a nature with, that Father practiced faithful love, and so does Jesus. And so he goes to the tomb trusting that this one that I know is not going to leave me there. Here's a crude example. Back in the day, at drive-in movies, you may not know this, but sometimes 13 guys would pile into the back of a late 60s Chevrolet into the trunk and slip in without paying. The car was dragging kind of low, of course. Ticket taker didn't typically do anything about it. But I'm not saying I didn't do that. And it wasn't because I was particularly honest. It was because I did not want to have my nose in the armpit of some high school guy with my escape dependent on some guy getting out and opening the trunk. Because I could just picture some Milam County fellow chuckling and snorting, "Wouldn't it be funny to leave him in there?" That's crude. Jesus, the practitioner himself of faithful love, knew that his Father practiced, showed faithful love, and he would not leave him in the tomb so that his body might decay. We are here this morning because God is faithful. We are here this morning because Jesus is faithful. We're here this morning because we are faithful. As I look around, I know there are many of you here who spent time as small children sitting in the armpit of your grandmother and your grandfather. You're right there next to them. And the Lord's Supper was passed in front of you. You weren't even part of it yet. You were too young to have made your own commitment, but you were there part of it, and you saw it, and you lived that. And now some of you have your own grandchildren here who are doing the same thing, and you have grandchildren who have made their own commitment, and you see them practicing faith. They showed up. They stay, and they do what they can. Let us remember, as we partake of this Lord's Supper, as we take the small chew and the slight sip and then carefully, gently pass the tray to someone else, that we are practicing faithfulness. We are doing what Paul announces in 1 Corinthians 11. We are proclaiming the death of Jesus until he comes. Let us practice the same faithful love this morning and on through our days, dear friends.